I want to thank Pastor Greg Chandler and, of course, Pastor Josh for making sure that everything went all right. I love going to the Jeep Invasion, all right? The Jeep didn't break down. Oh, glory to God. But I miss being with you. We both miss being with you. You know, it isn't often that I repeat messages, but I really felt that God was directing me to do that today. And I have to obey the Holy Spirit, of course. So here goes. Today we're going to be talking about five things. How many things? Five things that should be in every Christian's life. I mean, I don't care what denomination you're in, these five things have to be a part of your life if they want to grow and fulfill, if you want to grow and fulfill the destiny that I believe God has for you and has for every believer. Now, you got to hear me now, okay? Just because this message is a repeat message, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't pay attention or check out. I mean, you might just be the one that God had me repeat this for, okay? Yeah. So please don't check out. Anyway, I don't just repeat, I rewrite, so it's going to be different anyway. But the title is the same. The title of the message this morning is Five Strategies for Strength. So would you stand with me, please? By the way, if you're sleepy this morning, what you want to do is kind of move on over to this side because you could hide over here. I'm going to see all of you over here, okay? Okay. All right, if you would take your Bible this morning in your hand and raise it to heaven and repeat with me. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says it has. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, amen. You can be seated. Sorry about my voice. At least it sounds kind of funny to me because I'm kind of plugged up. But the message that I have for you today is kind of one of those self-help messages, okay? In other words, you have to take the information that I give you and personally apply it because it won't just happen. Amen? Of course, I really don't know anything that just happens, okay? So for it to practically assist you, you have to personally apply it, all right? That'll preach in itself. The title for the message today, again, is Five Strategies for Strength. And I believe these five principles will help you build a hedge of protection around your life so that you're not attacked by the enemy. You still may be attacked, but you'll be able to go through the attack of the enemy and come out on the good end on the other side of it. How do you know that the enemy will throw things at you? And many times he throws the same things at you because he knows what it is that will take you down. And unfortunately, we're usually brought down by the same things. And it may be that you're already doing the things that I'm about to tell you about, but if these five steps aren't already established habits in your walk with the Lord, then I just suggest to you this morning that you begin to implement them immediately, all right? To help you stay spiritually sustained in these last days, and again, reach your God-ordained destiny. How many of you want to... Just when it comes right down to it, how many of you want to be what God wants you to be, do what God wants you to do? Amen?
Amen?
Amen? I know, that's my heart. And you have to admit, these are troubled times. They are. They're troubled times. There are troubled times in the world, and they're troubled times spiritually. As far as the world goes, you don't know who to believe anymore, right? I mean, where do you go to get the truth? I mean, at one time you could trust the news media, now you can't trust them. However, spiritually, and here's the difference, we know who or what to believe. Amen? Why? Because we have the word of a God who never changes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It really is lopsided over here, or up here. You know, there's noise coming from this side and then a little bit of noise. Okay. All right. And I like the song that we sang this morning, you know, the cross has a final word. That'll never get old. Never get old. The cross has the final word. In the old song that you sang, thanks so much. Crying for the whole thing. I mean, this truly is a day, isn't it, where everyone calls evil good and calls good evil. And we are beginning to see a day that I didn't think I would see because of my age. By the way, I turned 69 last Sunday. All right. I'm doing everything I can not to look 69, okay? But I think you all know what I'm talking about when I say that, you know, it's a strange age. I'm not calling this message an exhaustive list because, quite honestly, I have probably four or five more things that I would like to preach, but this one's going to be long enough, okay? And quit starting praying, God make him hurry up, all right? But I think it'll strengthen your ability to build a hedge around your life. There are many more beneficial steps you should take to protect your heart and your mind. But these five simple steps are a good place to start. These things aren't new, but they certainly can bear repeating, okay? And Gary Timmer, could you come up and pray for the message?
Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. God, I thank you that we can come here in your name, Lord, that we can come here to freely praise you, God, and freely worship you. Father, we thank you for Pastor West, God. I thank you that as he preaches, that the power from heaven, God, that created the words in the Bible that he's going to preach, Lord, would just resonate in us. Father, I pray that any one of us that needs to make a change today, God, that we would make a change, Lord. Let us grab onto these principles as he speaks them. God, for any of us that may not have grabbed them before, or not grabbed all of them, I pray that we would do that today, Lord, that we would just be doers of your word and not hearers only. God, thank you for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
The first in the list of five is something that will definitely strengthen you and help you build that hedge of protection around yourself and around others. And it really won't surprise you, and that is pray each and every morning. Start your day out with God. Pray each and every morning. Start out your day every day with prayer as part of the plan to strengthen and build a wall of protection around your life and around your loved ones' lives. And I know we all know that. And especially the part about building a hedge of protection around your loved ones. I mean, we can pray for other people, but why is it we get so busy and we get so focused on ourselves that we end up praying mostly for ourselves and leaving out our family? Amen. We've got to focus in on that. In Psalm 5:3, David wrote about a commitment that he had personally made to spend the beginning of his day praying and conversing with God. He wrote this in Psalm 5:3. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Wow. David had made it a part of his religious routine, if you will, to get up every morning and talk to God. Why was it so important that David pray in the morning? Because he knew if he began his day with God, he would be strengthened during his day by God. Okay? You got to hear that. He knew that if he began his day with God, he would be strengthened during his day by God. He wanted the focus that started each day to be the focus of his full day. And he knew if he began his day with the Lord, his focus during that day would be the Lord. And that is so true. But I want you to take a look at a part of the verse here, okay? The second part, the last part, where it says, and I will look up. And I will look up. David planned every morning to get up and look up. And we should do the same, okay? We've talked about this in the past, and I hope you remember it, but if you don't, he would get up and look up. You see, David was surrounded by enemies, both inside his home and outside of his home. And all of his trouble was bringing stress and anxiety and all those things into his life, And he was beginning to struggle. He was familiar with the struggle, and you should be familiar with the struggle as well. And the devil was playing mind games with him, just like he does with you. And David knew from experience that trying to fight these problems and fighting the people would be problematic in his life, and he knew that he couldn't do it alone. He would need reinforcements from heaven. We need those reinforcements from heaven, people. And he knew how to, in order to receive those reinforcements that he needed, he needed to start each morning looking up, or things would escalate very quickly that would take him down. And it's so true. It's so true. And we should look at David's life and we should take example from that. You know, we look at him all the time and we go, oh, I want to be like David. He's a man after God's own heart. Well, you know what he did? Every morning he got up and he looked up. Amen? And so maybe we should do the same thing. You see, in the same way, you and I need to start every day with the Lord getting up and looking up, because the struggle of of this everyday life will quickly take you down. I mean, if you're not focused on it, and if you've prayed and make your prayer time in the morning, it's pretty hard to go out and do bad things when you just left God's presence. Well, hopefully not left it, but you're taking him with you. You see, God never leaves us nor forsakes us, right? Right? But we don't have an awareness of him being around us. I mean, I believe his word when he says he's never gone. But in our minds and in our perception, we don't really perceive him. The thing is, if you ignore this spiritual principle, you're going to lack in spiritual power. How many of you know that we need spiritual power to walk and not stumble through this life? We do. We do. On the other hand, if you pay attention, or should I say pray attention to this principle, you get strengthened from heaven. All you have to do is, and I'm saying this a lot because I want you to remember it, okay? All you have to do is get up and look up, and then you will set up your day, okay? Because by putting prayer first in your life, you set your focus on God, but it shouldn't stop there. It shouldn't stop there. You can actually learn to live in a continual state of fellowshipping with the Lord in prayer. You know, Ephesians 6, it's very familiar. It says that we should be praying always. And you might say, oh, right, Pastor Wes, that might be good for you and babies and old ladies. You have all kinds of times. And in a perfect world, you know, that kind of prayer, maybe, but not in my world. I mean, I am way too busy for that. But it is possible. It is possible. God never asks us to do anything that he won't equip us to do. And we've got to remember that. We can't look at those things as impossible. But it doesn't come easy. Many things in the kingdom of God don't come easy. You have to train yourself to do it. You have to learn yourself to do it. Okay, you have to make a habit out of doing it. And by becoming intentional, like David did, about beginning each day with prayer and doing it on purpose. And you know, the vision of this church is life on purpose. And that's the crux of the whole thing, is you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus on purpose. If you don't do it on purpose, it's not going to be there. If you don't make sure, if you don't commit your heart to that discipline, it's not going to turn out good for you. Amen? So we want to be people that do live life on purpose. But prayer opens your heart to God. It does. And it sets the tone for your day to receive and to believe. To receive God's guiding presence and believe God's great promises. As you set your heart to begin each day in prayer and to stay in a prayerful state of mind for the entire day, you'll find yourself becoming more spiritually attuned to the people and the things around you. Okay? A prayerful mindset will heighten and sustain your spiritual strength, which is exactly what you need to do, especially in these last days. And so, I know, sometimes I think, I preach this stuff, and you think, you know what? Why don't we just sing the song, read your Bible, pray every day, and grow, grow, grow. But you know what? Read your Bible, and pray every day, and you're gonna grow, grow, grow. Okay? Don't read your Bible. Don't pray, and you aren't going to grow, grow, grow. Okay. And so, you have to begin your day by getting up and looking up and setting up your day with prayer before the issues of the day bring you down. All right. Secondly, and they are not as long as this one, so you can relax. Guess what the second one is. I bet you won't be able to. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Make an intentional commitment every day to read your Bible. Not just read it, understand what you're reading. It doesn't matter how much you read, it's what you understand in what you read. And it's what God can speak to you in what you read. If you read through your Bible quickly and fast, you know, God may be speaking, you aren't going to be hearing, okay? So you read through your Bible at a rate that you can understand and get something every day, say every day, every single day that you read. Make it part of your plan for the day. I mean, get up in time. But Pastor Wes, I can't get up 15 minutes earlier. I won't say that. Never mind. Okay. Nobody get offended, okay? I can never understand how people can be continually late, because the answer is get up that amount of minutes earlier and be on time, right? Okay, now, I know. I'm sorry. Don't be mad at me. In Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist wrote this: "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You have to decide what the word of God will be, or that the word of God will be the guiding light that guides you down every path, say every path, and leads you in every decision that you make. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:7, he said, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." You know, according to this verse, a great part of your daily victory depends on whether you faithfully stick with the word of God and not allow other voices or other ideas to sidetrack you along the way in your day. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. You know, I know it isn't always easy, but by taking time to read the Bible and allowing its promises and precepts to penetrate your heart and to penetrate your mind, you give God the moment that he may need to speak a word of encouragement or direction to your heart. Why should you do that? Why would you take time to do that? Because the Bible will feed you and the Bible will lead you. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you haven't read, how can you be fed and how can you be led? So I want to encourage you today to make God's promises and God's precepts the highest priority in your life. In other words, put God's word before your eyes every morning and let God's word flood your mind. I mean, it doesn't matter, and it really doesn't matter. It's become the norm, you know, for Christians to read three chapters a day, because then you're going to read through the whole Bible in a year, you know. You know what? That's great. And, you know, I've done those plans, and I've done the 90-day through the Bible reading plans, and there's benefit with that, but man, when you burn through the Bible, it doesn't stay in your head, you know? You're really just focused on getting your chapters into every day. And with a 90-day plan, sometimes you're reading 9 to 15 chapters. Well, how are you going to remember all that? Okay. In other words, again, you have to put God's word before your eyes every morning and let God's word flood your mind. You know, I don't know how many of you have a smartphone? That's a dumb question. Okay, all right. Well, then you get YouVersion, and it comes up every day with at least a scripture that you can read. There's hardly any excuse anymore not to do that. We have to let God's word fill your eyes and let God's word become your daily guide. Hebrews 4:12 tells us of the power of God's word, okay? "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Especially in these days, it is so easy to be deceived. People come telling you things that are so close to the word of God, so close, but they aren't the word of God. And they just lend themselves to the next thing they're going to tell you. And next thing you know, you're off in East Jesus somewhere, And you really don't know, and you really no longer have the knowledge that you need. And maybe that's never happened to you, and bless God, it's never happened to me, but I know people in my family that that's happened to. In fact, one individual that lives in Texas right now and is in a cult. At one time, he was just on fire for the Lord. He went to Grand Rapids First, and he was a part of the leadership and everything, and you can't do that. You have to stay with the Bible. I don't care how good the new promise sounds, stay with what you know. You know, especially, as I began to say before I got sidetracked, in these days, it's just vital that you have the Bible in your heart. I mean, and at your disposal to victoriously defeat the demonic forces that will continually try to attack your mind. Because they will. Okay? They will. Oh, I don't like that devil stuff. Neither do I. Believe me. But it's true. So read your Bible daily, and it will lead you, and it will feed you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay. The third one is, excuse me just a minute. I'm back. You have to quickly confess sin and then begin again. Don't let it weigh you down. Don't let it weigh you down. Don't let it stop you. Don't believe the lie that says this, that says, oh, you can't approach God. You know what you did. So does God know what you did. And all you have to do is ask forgiveness and mean it in your heart, and you can move on, and that can be in the past, not to be visited again. Okay? We worked through a series a number of years ago called Foundational Faults. And in that series, we learned that there were many things that can weaken our foundation in Christ. One of these things was sin, okay? That's no surprise. And listen, we all sin, okay? Yeah, we all sin. And if you think you don't, let me tell you something. We all sin, all right? But the thing is, sometimes we sin and it's unintentional, and sometimes we sin and it's intentional, all right? And I want you to take this like I'm saying it, but it's regardless of which it is, okay? Regardless of which one it is, as soon as you realize that you have sinned, you need to quickly act on what it says in 1 John 1:9, and that is this. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All. How many? How much? All unrighteousness. He doesn't put any parameters on that. Proverbs 28:13 clearly states, he who covers his sins will not prosper. I don't want to be that guy. Amen? I don't want to be that guy. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I'm all for mercy. Amen? I'm all for mercy. I mean, we need to confess our sins so that God can cancel our sin. Amen? We need to forsake our sins so God can forgive our sin. Because when we ignore it and when we try to hide it, then sin will hinder our heart from hearing God. God doesn't run away from us like so many people teach, okay? When we sin, God doesn't take a hike. He doesn't. But the problem is we feel so much self-condemnation that we think for some reason we can't go to God. We believe the lie that we can't approach him anymore because we've done what we've done. You know what? God knew you were going to do that before you did it, before he saved you, and he saved you, and he's still saving. You understand me? He's not going to take a hike away from you. He's going to move closer to you. When Adam sinned, he moved closer to him. He didn't run away from him, and he looked for him. Amen? Okay. And again, because sin's condemnation and self-condemnation, it can harden your heart. It really can. But by quickly confessing and submitting to the cleansing power of Jesus' blood, that ought to make you excited this morning. I mean, that submitting and confessing and forsaking will keep you free from sin's condemnation and self-condemnation, which sometimes I think is worse, the self-condemnation that we walk in. And it keeps our hearts hearing hearts. It's necessary. Don't let your heart become hard by allowing unconfessed sin to build up in your heart. Remember, quickly confess, quickly submit to the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. Don't let the devil stop you with the lie that you have outsinned God's grace, because you can't do that. Amen? You can't do that. So quickly confess sin and then begin again. All right. Number four. This is nothing new. But the question is, you know, do we really make a habit of putting it on every day, the armor of God? Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, this is like Christianity 101, but sometimes, again, we get buzzing through the Bible so quickly that we miss it. It says, put on the whole armor. You know what it doesn't say? I will put the whole armor on you. Oh, come on. It says to put on. You know, God doesn't dress us in the armor. We dress ourselves in the armor. God has provided us with actually his mighty spiritual armor. Each element of that spiritual armor, the loin belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the lance of prayer and supplication, all these things, all these pieces of armor are vital to our victory, okay? They're effective weapons, and they are powerful weapons for us to use every day against the assaults of the enemy. So put on, okay? Put it on. If you got to open up the Bible every day and read it and say, I'm putting it on, put it on. Let it be a part of the tool that you use, okay, to build that hedge of protection around your life. I mean, it's no surprise. It's just no surprise. We know that the devil will try to wage attacks against us, right? But with God's armor in place, it's like the enemy is running in place, okay? He is not getting anywhere. When we don't have God's armor on, he can get somewhere. Amen. Amen. And instead of becoming his victim, I don't know about you, but I want to become the victor, okay? I don't want to be a victim any longer. There is so much, and I've preached on it before, but your whole life will fall apart if you would just get this victim mentality that everybody's doing it to you and it's everybody else's fault and you haven't ever done anything wrong in your life. It's somebody else, man. I'm the victim, not that person. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. So listen, with these weapons of your warfare in place, okay, you are more than able to defeat any foe or demonic stronghold that should challenge your faith. The putting on of the armor of God will make you a victor instead of a victim. That's just the way it is, okay? But please remember something. God doesn't put it on you. You have to put it on, okay? Number five, and this is a big one, probably one of the biggest strategies of all of them, okay? Excuse me. I'm back again. The fifth one, make a covenant with your eyes. Make a covenant with your eyes. Very often, evil manages to get into your mind and your imagination through your eyes. You can't even drive down the road without seeing a sign, you know, for an advertisement or something. The world uses sex to advertise everything. And if you're going to look at that and see that, and you are, you're going to see it, but you have to be sure that you make a covenant with your eyes. And what that does is like, well, nope, sorry, nope. You know, and if you have to recite a Bible verse, do something to get it cleansed out of your mind. Because if you spend even a moment on that kind of thing, I mean, even a moment, you know, it very quickly overtakes you. You know, Serena and I were talking about it yesterday and talking about, you know, how you can even be meeting someone in a car and you can see something you shouldn't see. And she said, well, yeah, you know, and I said, I don't remember what I said. But she said, but it's if you think about that over and over and all of a sudden you get it rolling over in your mind, you never wanted it or intended for it to get in there, but it's in there because you allowed it to stay once it came in. And we've got to become people that make a covenant with our eyes. You know, Psalm 101, verse 3 says this, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. A lot of preachers preach about the hell box from heaven, or excuse me, the hell box from hell, the TV. You know what? I think watching TV is great. You've got a clicker, right? When that stuff comes on, just get rid of it. Or if you know it's going to be in a program, then don't watch it. Okay? The choice is yours. Make a covenant with your eyes that you're not going to put any wicked thing before you. And it doesn't have to be a sexual thing, okay? It can be just anything, really. Anything that you struggle with. If you focus on it, it's going to find its way back in. Matthew 6:22 says, "The eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Conversely, if your eye is unhealthy, you know, how dark is that darkness?" And if your eyes are focused on what is healthy, that focus will bring good things into your heart. But if your eyes are focused on what is unhealthy or foul, okay, that's a great word to use to describe what the devil does, just foul, okay? Those foul and unhealthy things gain entrance through what you allowed your eyes to look at. When you realize that your eyes are somewhere where they shouldn't be, turn your head. When you realize that your thoughts, and because what you think about comes through your eyes. Are you with me? Especially men are visual, okay? You've got to right away stop. There's times when I'm in worship, and I would hope you don't watch me, but you know, maybe I'll be worshiping with my hands up, and I'll go, you know, no, because I get attacked with these just stupid thoughts. You know, I don't want to be thinking that. I'm trying to worship my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to think about that, but the devil thinks I'm going to, you know. But until I decided that I was going to make a covenant with my eyes and with my mind, those things would stay in my mind. And, you know, I don't care if you're saved or unsaved, and especially if you're saved, you're going to find that those things will attack you probably even more often because now you're going against the flow, okay? When you were going with the flow, the enemy didn't care, and you didn't care either. And the thing of it is, they affect you mentally, and they affect you spiritually. There's this ancient saying, and it goes like this: the eye is the window to the soul, okay? I think you've all heard that. And although this saying's not found in the Bible, the principle is, okay? It's true that your eyes are the gateway to your mind and to your imagination and to what positively or negatively affects your thinking. You know, we're living in the last days. I mean, this kind of stuff is going to be all around us. It's going to be on programs that we love. And, you know, you just have to use some, I could say discernment, the sound real spiritual, just use your head. You know what I mean? Just use your head. You can't watch things, okay? You can't. You can't watch things and have them not affect you because they will. All right, one more confession. You remember the program Deadliest Catch? Great program. Except the language is... Well, according to Serena, it was really bad, but I noticed it was just a little bad. But I found when I was watching it, I mean, I was watching it and everything was good, but then I'm out in the world and I'm doing, and these words have come to mind, and they hadn't come to mind in many, many years. Do you get my point? Use your head. You just have to use your head. So, it's essential that you make a covenant with your eyes, determining that you will not give the permission to any wicked thing to gain entrance by your sight into your mind. You have to remember, because it's true, the eyes are the window to the soul, so make purity your goal, okay? That doesn't make you a prude, that doesn't make you whatever. You know, we've walked out of movies, of course, got our money back, you know, because that's important. But we've walked out of movies that we thought were going to be all right. You know, we don't always do it perfect, but, you know, do your best. Amen? I believe, and I think there must be someone here today that needs to hear these five principles because, like I said, I don't often repeat, but I did rewrite. So these five strategies will help you they will help you personally, and they will help your loved ones when it comes to a hedge of protection around you and them, okay? There are more strategies, like accountability and being a part of a church that preaches the word, okay? It's so important. Principles that will strengthen your walk with the Lord. And then I'm going to, you know, that's all I've got. But there's one more principle, just tithing. I'm sorry, you know. I'm only the messenger. I didn't write it, okay? All right? You know, there's principles that we obey, that we make sure we establish into our lives, because if we don't, we're not going to be at the place that we thought we were going to be. We're going to find ourselves at the place of where we were. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be back there anymore. I don't want to go back there ever, ever again. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, your word is just true. It's powerful, impactful. It's packed full of promises. And we have learned there are things that we have to do that set your promises alive in our life and loose in our life. Lord, I pray that you would take these five things, Lord, and just place them in our hearts and our minds. God, I read your Bible, pray every day. God, so important. Putting on the full armor of God. Lord, help us make a covenant with our eyes, a covenant with you, that our eyes won't look upon or try or endeavor with everything that we have not to look upon any wicked thing. It is possible because your word asks us to do that. And you don't ever ask us anything that's impossible. You always equip us for what you call us for. So Lord, I just feel impressed that some of us or all of us need to make a covenant with the Lord, a covenant with our eyes. You don't have to look at me, but if that's you, if you want to do that this morning, just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you forward or anything, but amen, amen. To make a covenant with your eyes that you're not going to let that stuff come in anymore. Amen. Excuse me. Heavenly Father, I'm just going to say this right now, God. Lord, for those that raised their hands, for those that shouldn't have or didn't and shouldn't have, God, I pray that the covenant that we would make before you right now, the covenant with our eyes, that we would stay true to that. And God, we wouldn't look on any wicked thing. I know that you have the best thing in mind for us. You have good plans. Plans that give us a future and a hope. But God, we need to make that covenant before you with our eyes. And so we do that right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would empower each one that needs it, God, to be able to do it. But Lord, I also pray that they would be able to do the other four things, because they're all, each and every one, is so important. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. And amen.